Welcome everybody to Cape and Scales West.
West.
Issue number 9. And yes, the voice is back. That sexy, sultry voice that you've come accustomed to. Ooh. That warms your core like a chocolate nugget in your from fresh baked cookie from your grandma's oven is back.
No.
Nugget.
I had a very Puerto Rican grandmother. I don't remember ever getting baked cookies. Never.
Think?
No, I had steamed crab legs.
Oh, okay. So.
So
personally, I would much rather have that.
Hello, dearie. Would you like some steamed crab legs?
Now
like,
do that in Spanish, because my grandma doesn't speak a lot of English.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try it. I got you. No.
I'm gonna respect your language and not do it.
Let me butcher that for you.
Yeah, I'm not gonna respect linguistics in general and not even attempt that.
Yeah,
I mean, awesome.
Yeah, so okay. we're together, four of us.
Yeah, four of us.
Yay!
So as you might,
we can be the Fantastic Four because Marvel doesn't want one to exist.
That's true.
Yeah.
Too soon because they're still trying to kill them off legally. sorry, Marvel's legal department. So you might remember our new official host, Kat, from when she was just a wee guest host a couple weeks ago.
Now she's
a full-grown regular
part
host.
Of the family.
Oh my god.
I'll get you guys tissues later, all right? We got business.
Yeah, look at you. Already coming in and taking over things.
Coming in hot.
Yeah. I was about to say, you said coming in hot, and I said like a boss, and I was about to be like a hot boss, but realized that's probably not bad, and then I said it anyway. So, you know.
That's just wildly inappropriate.
Yeah. Decisions were made, and then
do I need
regretted.
To talk to HR? Wait, do we have HR?
We have HR.
Is it a trash can?
It's a trash can.
So do we like file the complaints and just throw it in the trash can? That's fantastic.
That's my HR.
Sounds like the set of the Han Solo movies. Throwing things in the trash.
Damn, Matt, you're on it.
He's angry.
I'm a bit angry today, yeah. So.
Fume, jeez.
Oh, man.
What? I know that we're not going to talk a whole lot about ourselves today, but I just want to let everyone know, I did buy a motorcycle. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's badass.
She bought a motorcycle, and she's still here, so she's doing well
motorcycle. Right. Still alive, so, you know, it'll be, like, weekly updates to see if I'm alive. Cool.
Nice.
What are the statistics? I don't know. The statistics on that are really scary,
you have to look
though.
At the type of bikes, though. Hilariously enough, Harley riders are the ones who die the most, because those are usually the ones you see without helmets.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like, I like breathing and walking and other things, so we're going to spend, like, $1,000 on
gear. And be smart.
Yeah.
Because you live for $1,000.
Yeah. I'm like, $1,000 totally worth my life.
You're basically going to save that on gas in, like, the first 2 months anyway, so.
So true. Yeah. It was, like, $6.
That's so awesome.
I was like, oh.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Like, not that my car takes a lot to fill up, but still, I'm like, oh, $6?
Yeah. Especially in a place like Fort Collins, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
And also continuing on the trend of not talking about ourselves but then doing it, I would like to apologize to the viewers because I have a sore throat today, so I might cough occasionally during the episode, in which I humbly beg you for forgiveness, as I have already asked Kat, Nat, and Leander, respectively, for their forgiveness, and they have given me a blessing so far.
Not in a bad mood, so no.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, like, so.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is it's like, I'll be okay with it, but that's all you get.
I mean, I'd just like you to not, you know, whip out your samurai sword and chop my head off.
Like Lucy Liu.
Yeah, like Lucy Liu style. Exactly. Cat sitting over here, like, doing a hostile takeover of the Yakuza. Just totally.
Yakuza.
His head is off.
It's like, that wasn't me. He took the sword.
The dead air stand down.
Patrick will be missed.
Where are we going today? Like, I really.
I feel like there's a lot of rage in this room, and it's coming out.
So much anger. So let's start with the origin of that anger, Nat. You've got a lot of news for us today, and none of it seems really good. What do you got for us?
So. DC, in their infinite movie fucking wisdom, decides that they are going to make a potential Joker movie, which has nothing to do with the DC Extended Universe. Oh. It's going to be produced by Martin Scorsese, directed by Todd Phillips, who directed The Hangover, set in the 80s, telling an origin story, and starring Leonardo DiCaprio. And all I have to say is, what the fuck? I don't understand.
I'm sorry, starring who again?
DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, so, okay. So of all of the things that make me mad about this, which I have... well, I've listed them all. the thing that really bothers me the most is, why do we need a Joker origin story? I don't understand why that is something that needs to be made into a film. The best part about the Joker is that he's a ghost. You know, you don't understand what that past is.
Or it what even motivates him.
Yeah, it was ever-changing in The Dark Knight. You know, he kept telling the story differently. It's like...
yeah, that was one of the best parts of the movie, right, honestly.
In The Killing Joke, he said, or at least that's how I remember it this right. time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, that mystery is what makes the idea of the Joker scary.
Right.
So, I don't know. clearly, I have opinions about this. I don't...
Well, even one thing that I wrote, they're like, they're looking for a high-profile actor to play the Joker. And I'm like, have any of us not learned getting a high-profile actor doesn't mean success? Like, no. If you're going to pick somebody to play the Joker, pick someone worth my time. Mm-hmm. At least. Or just don't do it.
Or just don't do it.
Stop pulling the trigger. Well, the thing is it's like this hot... this, like, I don't even know what this is. Like, a hodgepodge of, like... bullshit together, because you've got the writer, they want Scott Silver to be the writer, and he's 8 Mile. He wrote 8 Mile. I'm like, okay. Okay. And then you have Todd Phillips, who directed The Hangover.
Yeah.
I'm like, a comedy movie, what you're trying to do is two way different than what?
Which, I guess that's Joker, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Mashed up thing, but
that's like, I feel like you're verging on fucking dumb at that
point. Right. Well, it's like, if you do The Killing Joke, that's not a Joker movie. It's a Batman movie with Joker as a co-star. I don't understand. And then as a viewer, I Wonder Woman was great. DC has been moving in the right direction. It seems like they did the reshoots with Justice League so they can change the tone. So why are you going to confuse audiences by then introducing a different Joker that isn't part of the normal, you know, extended universe or cinematic universe that DC has built? I don't get the motivation behind it. This to me screams of, no, I don't even think it's money. I think this is Martin Scorsese had a really weird psychedelic dream after listening to some strange music, calls DC, says, I want to make a Joker movie. They go, fuck yeah, let's do it! And then nobody knows why. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about the cursing. I'm really, like, in a weird mood.
So I guess just to kind of play devil's advocate here, Martin Scorsese is an amazing director. So, like, him... you know, he's always done, like, the mafia kind of movies, which, let's face it, Joker is basically, like, a mob boss, like, a psychotic mob boss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
what was his name? Todd Phillips? The Hangover guy? Yeah, just because he's done a comedy movie doesn't mean he's incapable of doing a more serious drama movie. I mean, like, think of, like, the Coen brothers, you know? They were able to do Raising Arizona and No Country for Old Men. You know, two differently, entirely differently tonal movies. I don't know about Todd Phillips' directorial, like,
no,
prowess.
You're right, though.
But, I'd say at least, I'm not gonna IMDb him right now, because that's always just, like, a slippery rabbit hole of stuff. So...
Kick it out!
Yeah. So, and then, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's a good actor. I don't think he could be a good Joker, but he's a good enough actor that I'll at least give him a shot.
Well, I have a rule of thumb. I can't bitch about a movie unless I see it.
Fair enough.
Even if I want to complain about this movie, I have to see it first.
My problem is, why is it even a thought of production? You have a Joker already. If you want to do a Joker story... why don't you try to fix Leto's Joker? His performance wasn't bad. He's poorly written.
I also believe that he's actually kind of pissed off about it, too.
I've heard that, yeah, that he's not happy that there's talks about another Joker film.
I thought they were going to do, like, the whole three Joker thing, though.
That is in the normal DC Rebirth continuity. They've made those single-off mention of... three Jokers. I don't think you can do that to a movie audience and have people understand what's happening. Right. It's kind of like in Star Wars, all the Snoke and Rey theories. They sound awesome, but they're too convoluted to do in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So all of us deep rabbit hole readers, we're fine with stuff like that. We can take that concept and possibly even enjoy it.
To a general audience, you know, the ones who aren't so invested in all of this.
And if you're doing something with Scorsese, you're doing this because you want the general audience to be seeing this film. Mm-hmm. It isn't that... One, if Scorsese was directing, I'd probably be more interested. And it's the idea that it's an origin story that doesn't make sense to me. Mm. Don't tell that tale. And I think you did a fine movie with the original Batman in 89. If you're going to do a Joker origin, that one worked because you replaced Joe Chill with the Joker. And that, you know, tied everything together as in an interesting little package. But, but that was a Batman film, not a Joker movie.
I think the only thing I would add to this is that right now, I'd rather have a Harley Quinn origin movie than a Joker origin movie. That's what it comes down to.
Here's another weird thing about this. Coinciding with this film, they're talking about a Jared Leto and Margot Robbie Harley and Joker Mad Love film. I'd rather see that.
Yeah, I'd rather see that.
I'm not sure I need to see Mad Love in live action.
I don't really need to see that.
But
I mean,
that might actually be an R-rated film. Yeah, looking at the stuff that occurs in
it should be an R-rated.
I don't think I feel like I've read it, but I haven't. I don't know.
Mad Love's
not
a really
familiar with the story.
It's a unique. It's kind of Harley's breakaway, where she starts to realize that she shouldn't be in this relationship, and it does more with her origin story, so it tells her origin as being Harley Quinzel.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually written in comic book form first, and then adapted in the fourth season of Batman the Animated Series.
I did see that. That's why it sounds familiar, because I don't remember seeing that episode per se, but I definitely remember seeing her origin story in the Batman series, which...
I mean, they kind of touched on it in Suicide Squad for a minute, like, just her origin.
They did.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, they could do a whole movie, though.
Yeah,
they
could definitely do a whole movie, and then a whole sequel to that just about her ass, because I swear to God, her ass was the third most compelling character, at least to the camera.
He's right, though.
Yeah. If you just look at shot for shot in the movie, her ass got more screen time than Killer Croc.
Yeah.
Like, it goes in this order: Deadshot, Harley Quinn's ass, others.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And way, way, way down on the list is the actual villain. What was the Moonstone?
Enchantress.
Enchantress.
Oh,
yes.
I forgot she was even there.
June Moon.
Her ass.
Definitely favorite character in that entire film for me was Slipknot. Just coming in there, like, after the whole, like, half-hour intro. Like, hey, guys, it's me, Slipknot. Remember how I've been a part of this team the whole time? All right, now I'm going to die.
Yep.
I was like, this guy right here.
So no for the origin story.
No for the origin story. Right. I think,
we'll watch it if we have to.
Yeah.
For the fans.
For the fans.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't get made, so we don't have to watch it for the fans.
So we can come back in here next week and try not to punch each other in the face.
Alright, what's next?
So I got a bit of, I guess, to go on the meh. All of my news I'm so, like, two-sided about this. So I saw that Sony Pictures is going to pick up The Crow for a reboot, which, to me, I love The Crow. That's such a great, like, way before its time. If it was made today, it would be like a box office sensation.
Well, it's about to be, apparently.
Yeah, and it's about to be, except for the fact that also one of the reasons that, to me, it's such a good film is just, like, the filming story of it, with the death of Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, who's also the titular character in The Crow, being shot and killed during the filming of this movie, which is another thing that makes it just, like, what the movie is about and the fact that that happened during the making of the movie just makes this, like, I don't know, it's one of the craziest things.
I mean, I don't know much about The Crow, but holy shit. This is pretty much all I can say to that.
Yeah,
I knew he died, but I didn't realize he was shot during the movie.
Yeah, so it's basically, The Crow is, like, if Batman and the Joker made, like, an anti-hero, and then he went on, like, a vengeance rampage.
But the anti-hero is also a zombie.
Yeah.
Really unexplored powers for what he can actually do. Yeah. I love that film.
It never, yeah, it never really gets into, like, what his powers are, except, like, he can't die, he's, like, super strong.
Have you not seen The Crow as well? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeez.
It's, in my mind, it's probably one of the top 10 love stories, too. Like, the whole motivation of the story is that they, as a couple, are, she's raped, brutally killed, he's killed after the act happens, and basically a crow is kind of like the death god, and it is sent to resurrect someone if an injustice was done because of their death. And it's a revenge story after that, to take everybody who took part in that event is going to go down brutally, and it is...
Yeah. You don't have a camera, I just have like a horrified look on my face.
It's rough, but it turns into this really like beautiful film. It's a weird idea, but it's a really beautiful film.
Yeah, it's like really noir and like just like, I mean, the whole thing, it's like basically the whole film's at night and like, you know, rainy most of the time.
It can't rain all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually like a line from the movie. Yep. And
what other info's in this? Is there any like directors attached
I did not see anything other than that Sony just acquired the rights.
Gotcha. I think you flipped the script on this one. If you're gonna do The Crow now, you get you do a gender swap. I think you should. That would be really interesting.
Like having the
do an Erica Draven
kill
and the guy get raped.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, why not?
I think it would be interesting, like, then you have the lead character being a female rock star, you know, one of, like, a local artist that everybody loved, and just, you tell the, at least you can tell a different story at that point.
Yeah. That would be really interesting, honestly.
And there's been female crows in the comics, so that would be, you know, it's not unprecedented. You could do a different style of the makeup, too. Because I can't remember the character's name, but the female crow had, like, a, rather than the clown face, it was, like, an actual crow painted over her eyes.
Okay.
So, like, you give yourself an entirely different look for it, and then, you know, you can switch things up if you... Because you're going to... I imagine they would modernize it and not set it in the 90s.
Mm, yeah. Probably not. And honestly, I think that would probably be a good idea because of, you know, we all want women, like, women heroes right now. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I would like to see a really, like, a violent
woman
hero. And a woman something anti-hero, like too. Something. Mm. That would be a good, you know...
I don't even know. I can't even really think of, besides, like, Elektra, I can't really think of any, like, big woman anti-heroes.
And she's not really, like, on the Crow level either. She's kind of, quote, an anti-hero just because she, like, runs with the villains a little bit, but the Crow just straight up just murders people, like, cold blood. He's, like...
Yeah. I mean, and he does it like a show. Like, and it's not just... It's like a Batman villain as a superhero.
Yeah,
would be basically. Where you know you set up the entire like big machination and then that's death.
Yeah, and like you know displaying their bodies in this like intricate like way.
Yeah,
to like to be found.
Filling the shotgun with all of the abandoned wedding rings in the pawn shop and then shooting that and it's an intense film.
Like dark,
it's dark.
Like the little dark emo cat coming out. What is this? And it's
so
little black
good.
Overcoat and it's little
he does wear a black overcoat. Like that's his thing. Like he basically you know all black leather kind of you know the knee high boots and the black trench coat.
Set to the awesome
iTunes
set to the awesome Cure song Burn.
Yeah, it's all like 90s like emo and punk music, basically.
It's great. Now I really just want to watch The Crow. That's where I'm at on this.
I think we should all watch
The Crow.
Everyone watch The Crow. It's a movie
night,
guys.
Yes. Yeah. Some more info coming eventually. Nothing right now on the future Crow. Nothing currently.
Yeah, nothing currently, just that Sony has the rights and they're looking to do a reboot.
There you go.
So, that's all. What do you have for us? Do you have anything for us, Kat?
So, they finally cast Robin as the Teen Titans.
Hold on a second. They've cast Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Well, they said I've gotten reports of Robin. I think he's... My speculation is he's going to start that way, get pissed off half like in between the first season, and he's like, no, I'm Nightwing. That's basically... Because they're all really old. Like, that sounds really bad, but they are. They're older.
Yeah, I actually have the ages written down for
them. Oh, really? Okay, cool. Yeah, do you know how old... the heck is her name? Who's playing Starfire? Which I just found out yesterday.
That's
like,
it was another thing is that Anna Diop is playing Starfire, and she is 29.
Okay.
And Dick Grayson is what, Benton Thwaites, I guess that's
yeah,
how you
I would go with
him.
Thwaites.
he's 28.
So, I mean, I swear to God, there's crazy make things them. That have happened. Like in Rebel Without a Cause, Marlon Brando was like 31 when he like made the movie about him being a high school student.
I'm really praying they don't make them high school students. I'm like, please don't.
Here's the thing about this:
you can make them early 20s.
Yeah,
times.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, two episodes ago, in fact, we talked about the casting of Tegan Croft. The vampire 12-year-old that we can't figure out her age.
No one knows her age.
So there's this weird juxtaposition, and that was my trepidation last time, was like, she's very, very young. What story is this now that we have somebody who, for argument's sake, let's age her up. She's 14.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's 14, and then Dick Grayson is 28? I don't know what this Titan story is. This definitely is forming like it might be a mentor, and
that was my other speculation.
I mean, that was kind of what they did in Judas Contract. Mm-hmm. That yeah. Starfire and Nightwing were way older than the other Titans.
Were there anybody else in that age range with them?
Beast Boy should have been, but he didn't look like it.
Okay,
yeah. But then Beast Boy never does.
Yeah, he never really grows.
It's gonna
up.
Be like, you know, a future one where they're all 80, and he's still gonna be like he's like 17. Like, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah,
who wants pizza?
Yeah,
right. As far
pizza,
as
like, what about prune juice?
As far as acting is concerned, I'm actually really excited for both of these castings. I can't be negative now.
Are those the only two that are older that you guys know?
Those are the only three that have been cast.
Well, no, none of us can figure out how old is Tegan Croft. Right. She
That's
just
right.
looks like she's 9.
Right.
She does. She looks super, super young. I think 14 is way overestimating her age at this point, but, I mean, for argument's sake, mm-hmm. we might as well do that.
Because that would make her a teen Titan.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know anything about Anna Diop's, like, IMDb, like, acting history?
I know that the only thing that really popped up that I saw that I actually knew was, like, 24.
Oh, okay, so she's been in TV series.
She's been in TV series and stuff before. It's not, I recognize her, but I can't place her face.
I like her look, but I actually, as a Latino, I have an issue with, or not an issue, I have some trepidation. If they're going to make her orange, they've cast a person of color to then paint them orange, and I'm like, this is good casting? Does it say something about that? Like, I don't know what to feel about that. It's like, I like the casting. I want to talk about Dick Grayson, though, really quickly before we jump back
like,
to the idea.
I guess just, like, my thoughts on that as a white person with absolutely no stake in that. But, like, it always seems like they're casting, like, at least in superhero stuff, they always have, like, the alien as kind of the team's token, like, POC a lot of the times. Martian Manhunter, especially, mm-hmm. like, plays that role a lot of the time. And so I think that would be, that's an interesting choice to... God damn it, I dug myself into a hole here with actually making the token person of color an actual person of color instead of just like... So,
on that note,
yeah,
I kind of like the road this discussion is going.
But at least you see what I'm trying to say.
I'm not a part of this.
It's okay.
You mean a real person of color? The rest of us are not real people of color.
No,
there's more than one.
Okay,
there's more than one.
I think I'm going to speak for Patrick here. If they want to do any storytelling that is an allegory for the race relations in current society, mm-hmm. they can use the alien character as that allegory.
I figured that's what they
happened.
Did in Supergirl.
Actually, so I have a really, really stupid reason for liking the idea of Martian Manhunter being black, is the fact that his name is John Jones. I'm like, well, yeah, duh. Because originally in the comics, he was not. He was a white detective, but it was in more recent years. I think it was a result of, may have been the animated series where they decided to change his
name. I don't actually remember.
I thought in a lot of the animated series, he's still, like, his human form is white. They just always cast, like, black voice actors to play him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, if you look at the pages, like, yeah, so I don't know exactly the names of the voice actors, but I do remember that most of the ones that they get now are actually black male voice actors for that. So it's a little interesting thing right there, I guess.
Hmm.
Yeah. So,
Leander, any opinions on
about
the casting of?
Wait, why is everyone looking at me? Because I'm black.
I feel like at some point we're all gonna look at Kat because she's gay. So you know, I'll just roll with it.
No, I'll look at two people.
Okay, we'll look at two people. You guys can split. Thank God you're in the middle.
I have chameleon eyes that I can just look at two people at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. It's race. I'm so over it.
I'm kind of glad everyone is. It's just like, can we just be together again? Can we be friends? How does that sound? I'm done. Yeah.
Let's just get the guy with the most sultry, sexy, deep voice to play like all these cartoons, you know?
I'm pretty
like,
sure that's how they casted Mufasa. I'm just saying.
Well.
Yeah, but that's the right cast.
Yeah. James Earl Jones. Oh my gosh. James Earl Jones, if you're out there and you want to like record a lullaby for me to fall asleep to every night
or just come here and talk to us.
Talk to us. If you just want to come here and talk, if you want to like say the alphabet or anything, I'll just listen for like an entire hour. You can just say whatever you want, you know, confess your like deepest, darkest secrets, and I'll just be enthralled by
your voice.
There's
some great voices out there.
Yeah.
I will say, although we're not going to talk about this fully, the only thing about this next Netflix show that Pat and I watched yesterday was that the Allstate guy was the dad.
Oh my god.
That made the entire show.
I think that's the only reason we actually watched the entire movie of Naked all the way through is the Wayans Brothers Netflix movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. Just
really bad.
Really bad
just don't
throughout.
Watch it.
The only thing was is that it was the Allstate guy playing the sort of like
the bride's dad.
The father, the potential father-in-law.
Yeah.
And he did an amazing job, too.
Allstate guy, great casting for Darkseid.
Oh,
he would be.
That would be great
casting for Darkseid.
I'd be in.
Yeah.
Back to Titans.
All right.
the casting of Dick Grayson, Benton Thwaites, he's in Gods of Egypt and The New Pirates of the Caribbean, which I did not see The New Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think he was in the one before that, too.
Like, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Because he was the lead, like, he's the one that looks like he's a kid of the Elizabeth and Jake Lando Blumenhall's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked him in Gods of Egypt. Say what you will about that weird movie, but...
Never saw it. Mm-hmm. Never saw it.
He seems athletic enough to play that character, so... I'm excited about this casting. It's just weird.
Sure.
Let's
see where it
goes. Interesting to see, like... I also think the fact that Dick Grayson will be a part of this... does bode really well for the potential of Cyborg being in this cast.
That's the only thing that makes me happy. Yeah. That's all I want in life, is I want to flashback to when I was a kid and I watched the Titans, and it was Cyborg and Beast Boy, and I'm just like, yay!
I think they can do it.
Is Beast Boy in this?
Right now, it's just the three.
Yeah, we only have three. It's like, we're going to keep playing the game.
Yeah.
The tiny 12-year-old vampire...
yeah,
and then the two older people.
That's awesome.
But Geoff Johns is heavily involved, and I mean that would be the right team to use.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Next,
well, I guess I'll do this. This is a little bit of fun, controversial news. But apparently Hasbro is suing DC over the rights to use the name Bumblebee. So. Bumblebee is the Transformer, the main Transformer in the Transformers movies. Bumblebee is also the kick-ass female DC superhero who's a lot of the times works at the Teen Titans or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of interesting fact, the DC's Bumblebee came out is like 6 or 7 years before the Transformers Bumblebee did, but Hasbro acquired the rights to the character named Bumblebee in 2015, so that's the basis that they're basing their lawsuit on against DC.
Petty.
Yeah, obviously, they are just being petty at this point.
The notes I have on this is specifically, so right now DC has the DC Superhero Girls line, and it's extremely profitable for DC, and it's an animated series, it's comic books.
May have watched some of it, it's pretty great.
I like, you know,
I
the
may have read some
really
of it, it's pretty great.
So they say it's about toy sales, and Hasbro contends that the toy sales will interfere with the sale of Bumblebee Transformers toys.
If you can't tell, okay, I'm just saying, if you can't tell the difference between a female superhero whose basic, her getup is a bee versus a car that transforms into a robot, you are too young to be playing with toys.
Here's, okay, but devil's advocate on this. If the parents are online trying to get their kid a Bumblebee, like, oh, I just want Bumblebee. Okay, and then they go on Amazon, type in Bumblebee, and they don't know which one they're going to get. And like, oh, I don't know if they want this girl or this Transformer car. I'm just going to order from Amazon and
maybe,
get
like,
it.
See what they're into.
No, that's too parental. That's way too parental. There, no one's really going to do that.
It's like, you know, a parent
get
ordering.
To know your kids.
Get to know your
that.
Kids. How dare you?
It's like a parent ordering, like, a Beaver because their kid is into Bieber. You know, like, that's just poor parenting right there. Like,
that's poor wording.
I don't know. That was the first like entendre I could think of.
The worst one you ever called. The worst. Why'd you pick that one?
I don't know. Okay, it's just the first thing I thought of, and it worked.
They ordered up a real bear instead of a teddy bear.
Sorry, folks. I just broke Cat.
Okay, son, let me order it for you.
We may actually have to pause the podcast.
I think I'm going to have to go back and edit out some of this, yeah.
No, this is the best. Alright. So,
I think we've all pulled it back together.
Yes, there are words that mean multiple things. Bumblebees, beavers, it's all okay. Possible. So, moving on,
that's all I had to say about that before we destroy people further.
Okay.
We're going to get over this, so it's super age. All right.
Wow. What else do we have?
Well, Kat's recovering.
Yes, do you have any news?
Or do you have news?
Yeah, I got some other stuff.
Yeah,
you can go.
Okay, I guess... A quick one, and then kind of another controversial one. It should be interesting. I saw Jason Aaron is going to be writing The Other Side again, which is like one of his first breakout comics for Image. Cool. A story about the Vietnam War, a soldier on each side of the war. It takes place like back to back with an American soldier and a North Vietnamese soldier. It was just like a 5-shot issue, and so he's going to. Yeah, and so it, like, just happened, like, a couple of days ago. He announced that since it's the 10th year anniversary this year that he's going to go back and start writing it.
Is Cameron Stewart doing pencils and inks on that?
I believe so. Man, I can't remember. It's the original team, so whoever did it again.
That's great.
It should be really cool.
That's really cool.
And then also a bit of controversial news. Internet beef. Bum, bum, bum. So
the internet's a great place, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet is just a great place, especially if you're Patty Jenkins, director of Wonder Woman, and James Cameron, director of everything else. So apparently James Cameron made some comments a couple days ago in something or other about how Wonder Woman is overhyped and basically an objectified sex symbol. And Patty Jenkins is not taking that lying down.
I'm not either.
Yeah, she... And
Avatar
like,
movie, your second Avatar movie, is not getting my money.
Yeah, well, he compared Wonder Woman to Sarah Connor, like, from his Terminator movies. So,
What? Get over yourself.
Yeah, I know. That's basically what Patty Jenkins was saying, like... Dude, like, you obviously don't understand, like, you're a good director, but you obviously don't understand, like, the fan base anymore, and you also don't understand, like, women, because you're not a woman.
I can definitely say this now, since we're all angry with him. I never liked the Avatar movie. Never did.
Oh, no, Avatar is the beat you over the head with a sledgehammer to get the message across movie. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I love Terminator 2. And I love Aliens. I think Aliens is one of the best films ever made.
I just don't see the need for him to open his mouth. Like, why do you even open your mouth to say anything?
I think he's just jelly.
I think he's jelly and a misogynistic asshole, but whatever. Right. Why would you say that?
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing, like, standing here, and I think I've touched on this a little bit, I think, what was it, episode 7, or maybe it's just everybody in general. When I was growing up, I didn't have any, like, big-time, like, superheroes to look on, like, to look to in, like, mainstream when I was growing up. So, like, I'm super jealous of all the little girls right now who get Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That is the best, like, costume reveal / hero reveal I have seen in a movie. Like, oh my god, it was the most amazing thing in the world. And the fact that he's, like, basically shitting all over this because he's whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And comparing Sarah Connor to Wonder Woman he has not had, like, a really, like, that level of strong female characters ever in his movie. They're really formulaic. Always the guy coming in to save the girl. It's basically Disney.
It's basically
big budget Disney live action.
Hold on. I disagree with that point. I think that his women are strong, but in his statement, he undercut the complexity of his female characters. Mm. He undercut the beauty of both Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver, who are both beautiful women.
Mm-hmm. And, I love Sigourney Weaver.
Totally.
And he basically made the statement that if the hero female was beautiful, then they aren't struggling, and they have to struggle to be a heroic figure.
I think Sigourney Weaver's beautiful. Yeah, ass.
Well, yeah. And what he did in
she's
Aliens.
Gorgeous now.
She's gorgeous now.
Yeah, we're gorgeous.
Hi there.
what her character, what Ripley is in Aliens, is it's the ultimate mother figure. So he got it at that point. But like you said, why is he even saying this? Yeah. What is the point of making a statement about this?
Yeah.
Kudos to Patty Jenkins for slapping his fucking ass down.
That's right.
Because that was, I don't get it. I really, like, if you look at the recent body of work for James Cameron, I'm not a huge Titanic fan. It's a long film that really doesn't say anything.
Oh, God.
And Avatar is...
I hated Avatar.
It's... like, it's Dances with Wolves, Fern Gully, and I'm going to send you a message of environment and make the evil the most clear-cut evil ever.
It's actually, I saw something right after it came out where somebody took Pocahontas and scratched out the names and places and dates and just replaced it with Avatar names, places, and dates, and it is literally Pocahontas.
I encourage anybody listening to come into the shop and have a conversation with me about Avatar, because I think there is actually one of the most subversive and horrible sexual acts ever occur in a film, occurs in that movie, but I don't want to talk about it too much here.
Oh, is it the, I think I know what you're talking about, with like the...
Well, it's
like
the whole...
the braids.
Yeah, and the whole... there's a lot in that movie that I think is bullshit, so...
Either way, he screwed up.
He screwed up.
His future movies are going to take a hit because he... didn't have to say anything.
He didn't have to say anything.
Well, no, because, like, right now, all of the women right now are just, like, so... The best way I can put it is, like, honestly empowered by this movie, because I won't lie. Like, I've seen multiple things online where it's, like, I walked out of the movie feeling like I could take down, like, a freaking 50-people gang, and it's, like, I feel that way. Yeah. And it's nice to have not watching Wonder Woman be saved, but her saving everyone, like, including Steve Trevor, how many times? Like, there was, you've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Like, there was so much role reversal, which there shouldn't be, but there totally was in that entire movie. And it was amazing, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
for him to come in and, like, swing around and be like, oh, well, she's just an objectified sex symbol, and I'm like, go to hell.
Yeah.
Stop trying to take away, like, the one thing I have right now.
Yeah, so basically, Patty Jenkins, you're awesome. Please come in here and talk to us. J.D. Hammonds, you suck. Please come in here so we can slap you in the face.
And give you some lessons.
Yeah.
Seriously, so I can be angry at you.
Yeah.
Right in your face.
All right, what do we got other news?
I've got some, like, little tidbits. Suicide Squad 2 is being delayed to the surprise of no one. Warner Brothers is saying is that it's the schedule of Will Smith, and I think that is absolute BS. I don't think that that's what it is at all. I think it's the complete creative direction change in the DC cinematic universe, and that is a nice cover for them that's clear cut and dry, that they can cut ties with the director and do all of that fun stuff behind the scenes without making it look like an event or a scene. So. Alright. And then last bit of news.
Want some more bits?
Misty Knight? Misty Knight photo! Jesus. Misty Knight photo with Luke Cage for season 2 reveals a look very similar to her comic book counterpart.
Someone's probably going to yell at me for asking this, but do you know when I'm going to get a second season of Jessica Jones? Because
I think that will be coming out. They're going to release The Punisher, and then from what I understand, it will be Jessica Jones after that.
That's all I needed.
Because they're going in order, because they're doing like 2 seasons of Marvel Netflix a year what they're on track for. So they did
Defenders,
and then
Punisher will be later this year.
Didn't they do Iron Fist this year too?
Then Jessica Jones next year, I think.
I'm pretty sure Punisher is still slated for 2017.
Mm-hmm. I think
it's done.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be good.
I guess they're up on their schedule then.
They just need to put that right on Netflix right after the release of Stranger Things season 2, and we'll be watching stuff all year on Netflix.
I'm pretty sure that part of that might be because I think they're a little scared Disney might start trying to pull rights because they're going to do their own streaming service. Yeah. And I know that they're working with them, but come on, it's Disney. They make magic happen.
It might be their
legal department. Make magic happen.
It still might be a contractual obligation for a certain number of years. Mm-hmm. You may even see these shows on the streaming service with the Netflix logo as part of it, as a joint venture.
Like, the thing is I'm not sure what Disney's trying to do with their streaming service was, if they're going to do more kid-based or they're actually going to do, adult and everything else, because that might be the other reason why.
Disney has a lot of films under their belt with the overall banner that they have. I just don't know what. If we get Gargoyles streaming every day, to be able to watch that, I'm totally for this show.
Stop, yeah. That's a whole side story.
Take my money.
The spell is broken. And we live again.
Oh my gosh. So Gargoyles musicals, one-man show starring Matt coming soon, true. Apparently.
I would love to do that.
All right, guys, you heard it here first. Apparently Matt's going to be in a Plumper the Gargoyles musical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going.
I'm gonna be front row.
Thank you.
To watch that train wreck.
Thank you. I can sing.
I'll wait till it's on Redbox. Redbox, and I'll get it.
I don't do musicals very often, alright? That's what we'll tell him. It's fine.
You don't
it's
do musicals, yet you're the one with Disney tattoos. I'm sorry. I just want to
don't tell them that they can't see me.
Are you getting more bits?
No, I think that's
any more,
enough.
Any more bits at the table?
No, I think
cat got me bits. Cat bits.
Okay, I'm fine. We're all fine here.
I think it's review time.
Review time.
All right,
review. Everyone,
let's get into some reviews.
I think we're doing one we know for sure.
Yeah.
So
let's jump into
it. Should we start into the super review?
Let's go ahead and start with the big one.
That's okay. All we can do depending on the time.
Right. So we've got Nightwing: The New Order number 1. So this is a future tale. I believe the main story takes place in 2040, and maybe 2048.
It's 2042 or something like that.
Okay.
In the 2040s.
Yeah, something like that.
And it is actually in the past in this story, Nightwing came to the conclusion that super-powered beings should not exist. Not that them themselves shouldn't exist, but they shouldn't have powers. So something happened.
That's why they call them super.
Aha! Something should happened, and it's unclear what exactly. It seems like it may be some sort of a metahuman bomb that took powers away from the overpowered beings, and Nightwing became a task force leader for a police force that literally what they do is to ensure that superpowered beings are taking medication to suppress their powers.
Wow.
And it's a daily government agency. It's, so this is written by Kyle Higgins with art by Trevor McCarthy, which is the team that did Batman Gates of Gotham. Kyle Higgins was also the writer on Nightwing for the New 52 run, which was awesome, and he definitely understands Nightwing. For me, this was an absolute joy to read. There's a lot of questions, which for something that is very akin to the classic Elseworld stories, this is a very much a feel like The Dark Knight Returns for Nightwing, which I think is the biggest positive I can give. This has the potential to be one of those core Nightwing books when we look at the past of the character. And it's beautiful. It's easy to follow. It feels like Nightwing, which is really strange to me to think of Nightwing as this larger figure. He does have ties to so many characters in the DCU, so it does make sense if somebody would make this decision, it would be Nightwing to do it. I loved this book. I don't really know what else I want to say just to respond to what others think about it. So.
Like typical first issues, it leaves you with a lot of questions. I want them all answered, all of them. I don't even care how dumb and lame it is. I want them all answered. Like, every single question I want it answered. Because, I was reading this and I hit the end of it and I'm like, wait, that's it?
I think we should go into spoiler territory with this one and just put a notation on this. Because I think some of the stuff to discuss in here, we need to spoil.
Yeah. I guess without getting into spoilers, I think, from a literary perspective, I thought this book had all the elements of the great dystopian novels. Like, I was getting 1984 vibes from it, where, right. Like, Nightwing is basically the leader of, like, the thought police in a way to make sure that everybody's kept in line. Like, they're rewriting history a little bit
his Nightwing mantle has been retired, but everybody still looks to him Nightwing.
There's, like, statues of him there. Like, he's basically, like, this figure that, like, this big brother figure that, like, all the normal citizens look up to and all the superpowered citizens kind of...
fear.
You know, fear. And then there was definitely, like, a little bit of a Brave New World tinge to it with, like, the medication that the super-powered people have to take on a daily basis to basically be happy, functioning members of society, because everybody should be a happy, regular, normal member of society. Thank you, Aldous Huxley, for that one.
I think there was an interesting... going off of, Brave New World? Was that what you were saying? A Big Brother.
1984.
The weird thing about this is that people like Nightwing. And I felt as a reader, I still liked Nightwing too. You still have all of the personality of Dick Grayson. You're this energetic, you know, positive figure. We should probably talk about the fact that the whole story is framed in the voice of his son. His son is the one telling us what had happened and that this is the point in their life where stuff started to turn negative and things started to go bad.
I guess to sort of take it back to the 1984 thing, like, other than the main character in that book, everybody loves Big Brother, like, this mysterious Big Brother. Even though it is, like, this dictatorial figure, which, as the reader, we understand is a bad thing, but the people in the society love him because he keeps law and order and brings food and
they've done with him, too. I know that Nat's got the variant cover, but even in this cover, I'm getting, like... I don't even know how to explain it. Like, not Stalin, because everybody didn't really like Stalin, but, like, even just
he's
that,
being glorified as, like, a statue. Like, Nightwing is a symbol of
he is
peace
our, yeah,
and
he
humanity.
Is our savior.
Quite literally larger than life.
I don't
figure.
Think you really bump into too many. Like, he has everything. Like, when you get to the point in the story right now, he has everything pretty. You just get the glimpse of the past of what happened. You don't really know what happens.
Ooh, that shot of Superman.
That was horrible.
In the beginning, where he's, like, got girder or, like, a rebar through his legs and stuff. So
I think seeing that the cover the cat has, what begins to come forward to my mind is this idea of, like, this nationalism, this kind of, like, if you're not like us, you can't be us. Because Superman is an alien. Yep. It's not his choice to have superpowers. That's who he is. Martian Manhunter. Not a choice.
Yeah.
So you're taking away powers from people who are just living their lives.
Yeah.
So that part is where it starts to become a little bit, that's going to be the moral issue, I think, eventually in this book is, what about those people who just are who they are?
Well, and that's the thing.
That's where the spoilers come into play.
And what's the event? Like, what happened in Metropolis, and they say it's Metropolis specifically, that made Nightwing make this decision.
Yeah, he basically, it's like led up to most of its comic of, they're like, Metropolis, and I'm like, what happened?
And Batman didn't agree with him. It looks like most of the other Robins didn't agree with him.
I know Alfred. Alfred, you even run up into Alfred.
And Batman's dead. So whatever happened in this event may have led to Batman's death, which... will that be touched on in this story? Maybe, yeah. There's, I want to know where Damien is. Like, there's a lot of questions that you feel answered. Like, yeah, and you feel like Damien would have followed him based on the character of Damien thus far and their relationship. You feel like Tim would have sided with Batman. So, what happened to these characters? Some of the preview spoilers, especially for issue number 4, there's a resistance force that is shown, and they have a very unique tie to Nightwing, almost like they used to be friends when they were teens.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. I love this book.
Was it mentioned? Was, I think in this first one,
it may have been. Yeah. There may have been an incident involving somebody with red lightning or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yellow
lightning,
like that.
Red lightning,
something like that.
What did you guys actually think? Like, what's positive reviews? Do you want to read the next one?
I mean, issue 2, here I come. Like, I can't wait to get my hands on it because I'm just hoping for. I just want answers, and I don't have them, and so the impatient side of me is like, just give me the damn answers.
No, they definitely set it up in such a way, like, they've established this, like, future world very well, so that, like, there's a lot of stuff that has happened, and I'm definitely looking for, like, the events leading up to this, that, because there's really no flashbacks in this. Like, it starts out with it, but there's no, after the story proper begins, there's no really flashbacks, and there's not, like, and the way they talk about the past, too, it doesn't seem forced. It's so well written, like, the story is established so well, it just drops you right in the middle of this new world, basically, a new world with a new world order. And, I'm really interested to see where this goes.
I also wanted to take a moment to talk about the fact that the police force is this interesting combination of Batman and Nightwing.
Which, like, is really weird, because he spent how many years just saying, I am not Batman, I am not Batman.
But he was a really good Batman.
He was.
And that's the thing. It's like, as a Batman nut, I really like Nightwing as Batman, and I like Nightwing and Damian as Batman and Robin. So this was something special. I think we have something that could be a historic piece in Nightwing's history.
Yeah, it's kind of I don't know if it's the right word, unfortunate that you have to put him in the future to make him, like, is he good now?
Oh yeah, I think he is. Okay. I think this is the same thing like Dark Knight Returns. It's just at the right time to write a story like this with, you know, with fascism.
I've heard from multiple people. Yeah. I've got like the first trade paperback. It's actually pretty good. Like, I'm pretty interested in everything that's going on with him.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
So, speaking of fascism, I'm just looking at the cover now, like the regular cover, not necessarily the variant cover, but there's like the Nightwing symbol sort of at the bottom, and then on top of, like, these two flagpoles on either side of it.
Snap.
And it's very reminiscent of the Hitler eagle. Like, the design in and of itself is basically, like, the classic, like, very straight, hard line eagle silhouette. So there's definitely a lot of, like,
definitely worth your time.
Albums. Yeah, seems like it's worth our time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everyone, if you can find it, go get it.
Yeah. Well, 6-issue mini, too. It's the best way to read, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Low commitment.
Well, also, like, sometimes I feel like stories just get caught up in themselves, you know, get in, tell the story, get out.
Yeah.
Like, do what you need to do. You
I
don't
feel like
need
that's
to
good
have,
anime,
like,
too. Get in the story, get it done.
Yeah, if American TV can learn anything from Japanese TV, it's you don't need something to be 18 seasons to be good.
God, yeah.
Yeah, it can be two. You can have two seasons of something, and it'd be like the most.
And then you get a little depressed because it's like, what do I do with my life now? It's done. I wouldn't understand that. I don't watch anime at all.
It's not like you watch the, you know, 25 episodes of Neon Genesis and then want that to just encompass your life forever.
No, so, I didn't, you know, the ending of Fairy Tail is fine.
So should we end issue number 9 on a big review? That was a good review for everyone, so and we can do a lot for 0.5.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. All right, sounds good. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.